702.
WhatsApp Profilwe.
On 072. 702-1702.
So in this segment of the show, we're going to be talking motoring with motoring journalist Ernest Page. He'll be giving us a sense of developments in the Ford Ranger family and also giving us a review of a car. So looking forward to all of that. After the 7:30 sports update, we move on from there and we talk food and all things yummy with Anna Trepido, our chef, writer, food and food anthropologist. She always has a very, very interesting take on all things culinary. And today we're going to be taking a look at dining with dogs in Gauteng. You want to stay listening for that. And the small business wellness check-in this morning is going to be a little different. Usually we check in with entrepreneurs who have weathered the storm during lockdown, during COVID-19. But this morning we're going to be talking to an organization that is actually lending a helping hand to SMMEs and just finding out the extent of the services they provide and how people can get in touch with them. That's everything you can expect in the next hour of Weekend Breakfast.
702.
Call Refilwe on 011-883-0702.
Now, the motoring feature with Refilwe is brought to you by Total Quartz. Total, committed to better energy. And with that, we say good morning to motoring journalist Ernest Page. And it's always a pleasure to speak to Ernest as he brings us his view, his take on all things taking on developments in the motoring industry. And of course, you can read his writing and his work on car.co.za. Good morning, Ernest. A pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Ripu. We're glad to be back on the show again. It's been a good week in motoring. And I think there's a lot of exciting news to talk about now that things are starting to get back to a new normal-ish.
Exactly. So this morning we're going to be taking a look at some of the reasons behind the increased purchases of new vehicles in South Africa. We know that sales and figures were depressed for the longest time. So we'll be looking at NAMSA's March 2021 report in that regard. And then you give us the lowdown on the new Ford Ranger FX Bucky, the variant there, and you're going to be reviewing for us the BMW 128 Ti. So let's get right into it, right? NAMSA confirming new vehicle sales turnaround for March of 2021. A lot more cars finding homes, new cars rather, finding homes in South Africa. Nice development.
A lot more new cars finding homes in South Africa. And, you know, there's a bigger picture that's going on here. And I think that picture has got to do with the fact that, you know, it's been, as you say, the market's been depressed for a year now. Mm. And finally, sales are back up again. Now, I'm normally not the kind of person to celebrate these figures because I don't think it's a good thing to sell many cars for the sake of selling many cars.
Absolutely.
You know? So a lot of manufacturers talk about year-on-year improvements, but the market's only so big. But this time, though, I think there is cause for celebration because what this means is that, you know, people get to go back to work. The export market, which fuels a large part of our industry, mm-hmm. is now sort of back online again. So you've got all these jobs at all these different factories that have a meaningful and real impact on South African lives.
Yeah.
And now that we're back to normal-ish numbers, you know, it's a good thing. The numbers, though, don't tell the full story because the big talk in the report is that the numbers are up 33%. You know, they're up from March last year, which is not a fair comparison to make.
Sure.
You know, March last year was very... I think we all remember March last year.
Well, March last year, Ernest, was we felt like we were in a Will Smith post-apocalyptic movie where the streets were completely deserted and we were all just, you know, crouched and staying at home. So, yeah, it is an unfair comparison to make. But just lay out what are those figures that, you know, yes, there's a percentage of 33%, but what are the figures in terms of domestic sales in March of 2021, and export sales as well?
Our total sales was 44,000 in this year,
mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
Total for the entire market. In last year, total sales were 33,000. But I think what we need to look at is the year before last year, which was about 47,000. So we're still down 2,000 in total units on the year before last year. But the good news there is that that's totally normal.
Mm.
That's totally normal because The year before that, we were down 2000 as well. And the market's been in decline in that way since 2007. So, you know, it's normal that we're not selling as many cars year on year, but the number that we are now is more of a sort of on-pace number. Now, you asked about domestic sales and aggregate sales and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Passenger vehicles on 27,000 of that 44,000. But the big number, as I said, is exports, which is up by 38% compared to last year. And again, that's that's the one that's going to make the real impact. Now, ordinary South Africans aren't necessarily buying most of these cars. Most of these cars are going to industry. Most of these cars are going to the rental market.
Mm.
And what's happening now is, and this is good news for all of us, I get choked thinking about it. Industry has got the inside line on the fact that things are going to boot up again soon. So, you know, the lobbyists would have had conversations with government, and now we're talking about when do the borders open? When do we have our next season?
Mm.
And I think most of industry is preparing for the next season, which will be bigger than, it might not be the biggest one, but the rental market needs to have cars available.
Absolutely.
You know, the chauffeur industry, the bus, the VIP sort of industry needs to have vehicles available. So these industries are stocking up now. Dealers are stocking up as well. So this is a very, very good sign for the South African economy.
Well, obviously a very good sign for workers, for employees that, listen, we are indeed going to get back to work. But so much, unfortunately, Ernest, hinges on that vaccine rollout plan and how quickly it happens and, you know, how soon it happens. We need to reach herd immunity. That's going to be the ultimate, I guess, barometer for how things go for us. But let's move on then to the new Ford Ranger, the FX4 Bucky variant. What's happening with Ford Ranger? There, Ford South Africa revealed different pricing.
Yeah, Ford South Africa have released quite a few Buckys lately, based on the fact that this Bucky also, just like the Amarok we spoke about the last time, is at the end of its run. The new one will come out next year, and Ford, just going back to what we spoke about earlier, Ford is one of our biggest exporters.
Mm.
So, you know, for them to be building new range of Buckys, it's good news for all of us.
Mm.
So this one of the year is the FX4, which slots in below the Thunder and the Wildtrak. So an entry-level Bucky at a more reasonable price, but it's got a bit more of an edge to it. So you don't have to go for the full-fat version and pay maximum dollar for it. Instead, you, for under $620,000, you can get this version that's got the look of a top-of-the-range Ranger,
yeah.
But it's under the skin, it's got good quality, sort of smaller engine, less power, etc.
Well, listen, I'm always down for any kind of Ford or Ranger with less power. I can just see, I'm really imagining every other driving experiences every other day with just this thing bearing down on me. And I'm looking at my rearview mirror and I'm looking, you know, I'm checking the coast so I can just get out of our way, because these guys are always on a mission, eh?
Always on a mission.
I think
this one, you're not going to like this one either, because this one's got the big change on this one is the front grille.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that too when I drive these cars. When, it doesn't matter if I'm going 5 kilometers an hour faster than the person in front of me, they always peel out of the way.
Because it's so intimidating, Ernest. It's so incredibly intimidating.
It is. And for, between us, to deal with four drivers, that's what they want.
Yeah.
Old Bucky drivers, that's what they want. They want to feel like they, you know, our parents used to use the term own the road. That's kind of what they want to feel like.
Let me do this. If you're a Ford driver, can you relate to this discussion right now? Do you feel, in fact, do you know that you own the roads? Because as soon as you just pull up in front of a, you know, approach a car, they just want to get out of the lane and just let you be on your way. 31702, that's the SMS line. Or give us a call on 011-883-0702. Ernest, I know that these Ford Ranger drivers understand just how intimidating they are and are using it fully to their advantage.
I would love to hear from an actual owner. And myself, it happens to me. I get into the Ford Ranger and it sits high up.
Yeah.
You've got the big 18-inch wheels. The car feels and looks imposing. It's got all the features and you're sitting very comfortably. All of a sudden, the arm starts resting on the side sill by the window and now everybody needs to get out of my way. And I notice it about myself. I notice it about me too. So I think all drivers can relate there. I think they can relate.
All right. Okay. So let's talk more. I love the fact that you're talking about the fact that, I love the fact that you say your own posture and your attitude on the road changes. Let's see if anybody else can relate to that. So, you know, the difference now, you've mentioned the sort of configuration regarding this FX4. Any change, the change to price, how substantial is it?
Well, this one's got a 50,000 Rand premium over a regular XLT.
Okay.
And what that means is you're paying for all the extras, effectively. It's more of a look kit. So it's similar to the XLT. You've got 10-speed gearbox, which is great and works well with this 132-kilowatt engine. It's basically an XLT. So technically, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you pay 30,000 for those looks. And what I like about what Ford does is where many manufacturers make their money off these limited edition cars and charge a big premium or too much.
Yeah.
I think the parts that you get on this car are worth more than 30,000 by themselves. So it's actually a good deal. And I think businesses, especially the target market for this, which would be the businessman that does lots of mileage in his bucket.
Yeah.
You get the bed liner at the back. You get 12-volt socket. You get the easy lift tailgate, which you just kind of touch it and it closes. You know, you get the decals, the front grille, the covers, the leather inside. There's so many features. And I do think it's worth more than 30,000, especially if you're going to go buy those things individually or spec it yourself.
Mm.
So that was a very clever move from Ford. And I think more manufacturers should follow suit where the limited edition models should be good value for money. That's why they're limited.
Yeah. And I quite enjoy the sort of color options as well. They're really having fun with it. Not necessarily trying to stick to what we traditionally view as the kinds of hues you'd expect on a car this big, right? And a car this strong. Those sea gray colors, so much fun. I really enjoy them. But let's take a call here, Ernest. We've got Tep on the line. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Tep. You want to weigh in on the Ford Ranger conversation. Are you an owner?
No. I'm not an owner, but I just wanted to weigh in to say that they do indeed feel like they own their own. I don't want to generalize, but I want to relay a very funny story.
Yeah.
I drive a very small vehicle. It's a VW Polo. So you can imagine when this big Ford Ranger is coming behind you, you're seeing it through the rearview mirror. Then I complied. I went to the left. Then he passed, right?
Sure.
Then it was my turn for me to go fast. Unfortunately, he has not really gone that far.
Mm.
But now when I'm behind him, he doesn't want to give me that room, you know? I drove behind him until I decided, no, let me pass him on the shoulder, on the left, right? Then after I had passed him, then he followed me. He followed me until I got home, you know?
Oh, wow.
What is strange is that I then picked up that we live in the same neighborhood. Can you imagine? Yeah, no, thanks a lot. That's just the story that I wanted to share.
Thanks, Tepo. And all the best to you and your little Polo on the roads, because these guys are incredibly they're incredibly intimidating. I think really we just need to make peace with the fact that, you know, this is a Ford Ranger world and we just happen to live in it, Ernest.
it's definitely, you know, and in the words of any South African, this is a Ford Ranger world and I'm a Ford Ranger girl.
You know what I mean?
The entire country loves it.
Absolutely.
The entire country loves it.
Absolutely. You can't help but notice it. All right. So you had the pleasure, I'm guessing, of driving the BMW 128 Ti, this year's, or the latest rather. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, the 128 Ti has just been released quite recently. I haven't spent as much time with it, but I thought, you know, I'd let you and the listeners know if you were about this car, because it's a very exciting car. Why? Because BMW, basically, they've only recently tried this whole front wheel drive thing.
Yeah.
So what that means is the power now gets sent to the front wheel instead of the rear wheel, like our dads always told us is the best way, and that's why they like BMW.
Mm-hmm.
So this one now is a direct rival to the Golf GTI, which effectively has kind of been unrivaled in many ways. And BMW has said, you know what, we think we can build a better GTI. And now they're trying to do so. And whether it's better than a GTI, you know, I'll need to put them head to head. I'm sure we'll do it at the Cars Awards end of the year.
Yeah.
But for now, it just does seem like they've hit this one out of the park. I mean, the car is fantastic. And for people that don't build front-wheel drive cars, I feel like they've nailed this one on the head with the new 128 Ti.
I mean, that's really interesting, Ernest. First of all, those are fighting words, right? Can you build a better GTI? Those are real fighting words. But, you know, the number of articles that I've come across when just reading about the 128 Ti is exactly that. Is it actually now the best front-wheel drive hot hatch? That's the question that seems to be doing the rounds in all these motoring articles. So how do you decide? I mean, yes, you can look forward to the awards down the line, but how do you make that distinction?
Yeah, you feel with that, I love what you say, that those are indeed fighting words, and they were not holding back. I mean, the advertising campaign, even though this was a dealer advertising campaign, and I know one of the head guys at this dealership, their logo was, their little banner was, drop the G and go for the TI, something along those lines. So it was definitely, you know, we're now having a fight now. It's one of those moments at school, on the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, they back it up, though. They back it up in this car, and I've spent about 2 days in this car now. Within three corners, little circles that I just thought, let me feel what this thing feels like, I could tell that it was a good car as far as dynamically. You know, I still need to live with the car, check the back seat, spend time with it, interior quality, all those kind of things. But usually those are things that BMW gets right.
Sure.
The big question mark was, how is this going to drive? For it's like asking someone that's never baked cake, but they've been making bread. They're the best bread maker in the village. Now they've got to make bread. They've never done it before.
Sure.
But this, it's a good front-wheel drive car. And one of the big separators here is that it's got something called a limited slip differential, which is a mechanical device that sends power to the wheel that needs it most. Now, VW's GTI doesn't have that hardcore of a differential. And I think BMW did it on purpose. They said for the same price, around 700,000, we'll give you this car with this differential, and then you feel like this car, even if it's not better than the GTI in so many ways, it's going to feel slightly more sporty. And in this sense, it does feel slightly more sporty. But at the same time, from my perspective, it's also got that GTI, I can do everything every day, all the time sort of feel to it. But I can't give verdict as to which one is better as yet. I want to drive them back to back and then decide from there. But what I can say is that this is a fantastic first attempt from BMW, and definitely VW, whether they, I don't think they're shaking in their booties with regard to market share, but they certainly is a new kid on the block now.
Really, really interesting. And of course, we've got that, the Golf 8, the GTI coming on the horizon, right? That's also set to arrive on our shores.
Exactly, and that's the thing. So now, we've got in the red corner, we've got the BMW, and in the blue corner weighing in is now the GTI. And this is what we've got to look forward to next year. You know, before in the 90s and the noughties, South Africans used to complain about the fact that certain cars weren't coming into the country. But now we are spoiled for choice at the moment. And these NAMSA numbers too, that people, you know, there are some people out there that can spend on these cars.
Yeah.
Just some more technical information on the car. It comes with an option of different tires. So you've got an option to get even stickier tires. Again, another clever move by BMW, just to make sure that they've got an upper hand in an easy area over the GTI.
If you
want the sticky tires, you can get the sticky tires at no extra cost. And then also, I think the BMW mainland offering a year's free insurance. There is one negative, though, is that this one, the South African model got less power than the overseas spec because of our fuel, apparently. But BMW always over-delivers on their power. So I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's apparent that, you know, COVID and lockdown have really, really forced car manufacturers, but specifically dealers, right, to just look at other ways to entice motorists and get them through the doors and to get them to spend with them, you know, throwing in a year free insurance and, you know, the sticky tire deal as well is just really, really incredible. Do you think the sustained innovation or just having to pepper in and sprinkle in more ways to lure customers in is going to carry on beyond COVID?
I think so. It started before COVID with just real quick with Renault and the Quid. With 2,000 Rand, you can get a car with ski insurance for a year. And mobility is a big thing in South Africa. We need to get South Africans mobile. And I commended Renault many years ago, and now many of the other manufacturers are following suit.
Sure.
You know, we all know the stories of the townships where it's difficult to get a taxi in the morning.
Yeah.
But you got an extra 2,000 rand, you can now get a car. You can stay late for work. You can have that meeting with the boss. Work your way up the corporate ladder versus having to take the first taxi home at 5 o'clock. So, you know, I think it's going to remain, and I look forward to what manufacturers come up with in the future.
Lovely stuff. Ernest Page, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jofilwe.